If you would, open up your Bibles today to Psalm 130, the 130th number of Psalm. We want to read a couple of verses from this Psalm. To help us move into the Advent season. Minister Godwin, Mr. Joslin, as she was welcoming you and opening up our time of worship, said to you the first week of Advent or the first Sunday of Advent that we celebrate is hope. It is that word that we focus on, hope. And so today we are going to be looking at this word hope and the fact that our hope is in Jesus. Amen. Now, I know Psalm is over in the Old Testament, and I'm talking about Jesus. But that's because every book in the Bible speaks to Jesus. From Genesis to Revelations, it's all about Jesus. Every word of God, every promise of God has become yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So we will look at verse number 5, beginning with verse number 5, Psalm 130. Let's read it together. For those of you, hopefully you found it in your Bibles, you found it on your device. It's up on the screen. We can read it together nice and loud. Amen. Let's read. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Hold that verse there, because I have a habit of, in my own reading, in my own writing of the scripture and recording, I happen to put my name where Israel is recorded. And so there will be those moments where instead of saying Israel, I have to say, Richard, put your hope in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not creating anything when I say, Richard, put your hope in the Lord. So we're going to read this verse one more time. And this is where we're going to sound like a concert, because you need to put your name where it says Israel, and then we'll read the rest of it. Amen. And say it like you mean it, because, you know, sometimes you've got to talk to your soul. You got to talk to yourself and remind yourself, you know, that this is what you need to do. So let's read it together. Richard, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you today for the great privilege that you've given to us to come together and to worship your holy name. We declare there is none like you. And we ask right now for fresh revelation. We ask right now for fresh filling, and for God, the word that we need to encourage each one of our individual souls. We thank you for your spirit who is alive and who teaches us. In Jesus' name, amen. So from this particular psalm, I want to speak to this truth. Hope lives in Jesus. Amen. Because as we think about Advent, we think about, as Minister Joslin said, for the Old Testament saint, for those who were worshiping God prior to the birth of Jesus, they were looking forward to the coming of a Messiah. But for us who are on the other side of the cross, we are looking forward to the return of a glorious king. Amen. And so we have in the fulfillment of what Jesus did in his birth in his death, in his resurrection, we have hope that says that, wait a minute, I've been forgiven for all of my sins, but then he's coming back to get me again. Isn't that exciting? That means that I don't live this life as though I don't have anything to look forward to. For I know that at the end of my appointed time, at the end of your appointed time, he awaits you, welcoming you into his presence. And can I tell you that that is really why we live? Amen. That's why we live. And when you enter into this Christmas holiday season, if you focus on that, depression won't be able to get you. Amen. Amen. I know the holiday season can be rough. Can we just keep it real? You start thinking about loved ones that have gone before you, that you are no longer able to spend time with them. You're no longer, you know how all of that happens, right? I don't have to play. But listen, don't let depression or grief pull you down when you're thinking about the hope of the world, because hope lives in Jesus. And if you can keep your mind fixed on Jesus, if you can keep your mind fixed on the one that God sent, what he will do is elevate you above the stuff of life. And when you declare the name of Jesus, he will dispel the darkness, because what? He is the light. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all better get excited with me. In case you didn't know, I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to help y'all out. In case you didn't know, I can do it all by myself. I'm going to be honest. Amen. But I don't want to. He didn't call me here to do it all by myself. Amen. He pulled us here together so that we could worship together, so that we could celebrate together, so that we can attest to the truth together, so that we can shout hallelujah together, so that we can encourage one another together. Amen. And there's something about when you open up your mouth and you affirm the truth, that the enemies that's all around you say, oh, they know something. And you start to pierce and chase the dark. And can I also tell you, you do encourage me when you say amen. You do encourage me when you wave your hand. You take out your handkerchief and say, preach, preacher. You ain't got, man, you know you got to have a handkerchief. Man, come on, brother, you got to, come on, man. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So hope lives in Jesus. In this particular psalm, this word hope is a verb. Now, hope in the Bible is both a noun and it's also a verb. In this particular rendering, it is a verb because it is speaking to the emotional state or expectation of the psalmist. So when you start to talk about hope in its verb form, it starts thinking about how you're doing emotionally and what you're looking for. When presented as a noun, you start to think about the object, if you will. You start to think about the weight of the word hope. And most importantly for us, we know that hope is a person. First of all, hope is found in God alone. Secondly, because Jesus is the image of the invisible God, because Jesus is the Son of God, hope then is Jesus. Amen. Hope is Jesus, and you're right, he's alive. Amen. Hope is Jesus. So it is the idea that if I can get my heart and my mind fixed up on the one who is the living hope, he will then stabilize my emotions. Isn't that good? He'll stabilize my emotions. And so I have a state of mind that no matter what I'm going through, the living hope will keep me stable and even to go through it until he delivers. Amen. And so I got my mind on him because I know where my hope comes from. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm not fixing my eyes on people who have power or positions or money. I'm fixing my eyes on the one who is in control of those who have power, position, and money. Yeah. I'm understanding that the heart of the king or the heart of the powerful individual or the heart of the wealthy individual is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like a water course wherever he chooses it to go. And so I've got my eyes fixed on him. And when I dwell and fix my eyes on him, suddenly the way I think is adjusted. It is changed. And suddenly the state of my being is set so that I'm stable. And if I'm stable, that means that I'm in mental soundness. I have mental health, right? I'm not unstable, I'm stable. The conditions that I experience don't control me. I love this psalm, and I want to encourage you, because there's only 8 short verses. I want to encourage you to go back later in the day, and you'll probably do it while I'm talking right now, and read all 8 verses, because they are nice and short, but they are packed full of power, because the psalmist talks about out of the depth of his pain or whatever it was that he was going through, he cried out unto the Lord. And in the midst of it all, him crying out to the Lord, God heard his voice. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your hope in Jesus, that in the middle of it all, that you never allow circumstances or disappointment to pull you away from him, but you keep drawing close to him. Because when you cry out, he will hear. It may not feel like it sometimes, but he'll hear you. Oh, that's what I love about the Christmas story. Because in the Christmas story, you see a God who is hearing a people who are crying out. You see a God who says to them, I have not forgotten you. And you see a God who says to them, I have a schedule that I am maintaining. And if you wait for me, you're going to receive what I promised. It shows up first in the life of Zechariah. You remember him and his wife Elizabeth? According to Luke chapter 1, and I want to encourage you to go and read that this season, it says that they were righteous people, devout people. They were servants of the living God. But then the text says, but they had a problem. They had no children, because Elizabeth was unable to have a child. She was barren. And what I love about what God does and what they do in the process is God keeps watch on them, because they've been appointed for something special. Just a little pin that sometimes when you're waiting and you're getting frustrated, God has something else in mind that you can't see. And that's why you don't need to throw in the towel on God. You need to just keep waiting, because what he's going to give you is going to always be better than what you were wanting or asking for. Amen. What I love about the model that Elizabeth and Zacharias give us is that in the midst of their disappointment, they didn't give up on God. Amen. They did not throw in the towel, because what it says is that they were righteous and devout. And at the appointed time, Zacharias was still doing what God had called him to do. when the lot fell to him and it was his time to go and offer up intercession, he still in obedience went and offered up intercession. Even though he had not received the thing that they had been hoping for and praying for, he said, unto you, O God, I serve. And he's going and doing what God called him to do. What they do is give for us a picture that is so different sometimes from what we see with others. That when others get tired of waiting, when they get disappointed with what God has provided, they'll throw in the towel, they will leave the church, they'll stop praying, they'll stop doing all of those things that they need to keep doing in order to receive the blessing of God. And I want to let you know that if you keep your heart, your mind fixed on Jesus, the living hope, he will keep you from wandering away from the one who can deliver. Zechariah and Elizabeth, as you know, received this miracle from God because while he's standing there at the altar doing what God has called him to do, an angel of the Lord appears up and begins to speak to him and says that your prayer has been answered. That what you were praying for is going to come in a package that you didn't expect. That the time has come for the anointed one to arrive, but I'm going to send an escort, a forerunner before him, and your child gets the opportunity to be the forerunner for Christ. Wow. Wow. Yeah, I know Zechariah got some issues at the altar, but aren't you glad that your issues don't stop Jesus? Ooh. Oh, see, some of us stuck in perfect mode. Some of us stuck in this mode of, I got to do everything right. I got to be perfect in order to receive from God what God wants me to have. And therefore, when I ain't doing everything right, when I ain't doing everything perfect and stuff is coming in my life, I think God done forgot about me and he don't like me no more. And because my doubts show up, I think that God can't answer throughout my doubts. Can I just tell you, God don't need... This boy standing at the altar of incense, the angel shows up, and then he said, wait a minute, can you give me something that's going to help me to believe what you just said? I just showed up from the presence of God. And in fairness, let's be fair. Let's not pick on Zechariah. Let's be fair. He was old. Let's be fair. Plumbing. Let's be fair. Let's be fair. They had tried for a long time. Let's be fair. Had been unsuccessful. Had probably resolved in their minds that Sister Charzetta, they thought they was going to have to foster. You know what? If we're going to add to our family, we're going to go and hey, let's apply to be a foster family. You know, that's kind of where they were. They had resolved in their minds that this is it. So in fairness to Zechariah, I can appreciate what the brother's saying. Now you on the other hand might be so holy and righteous and full of faith that you don't have to like, yeah. And so that's why I can appreciate God's willingness to acknowledge that we are fragile, that we are weak, and that we fall short. You remember that scripture that says we all fall short of the glory of God? I don't know what you think that means or how that applies. That doesn't just apply to your sin being that you are not perfect. Don't you know that sometimes in your faith you fall short of the glory and expectation of God? Aren't you glad that God is not allowing your shortcomings to prevent him from doing what he wants to do in your life? I am. I'm glad about it. Because, in fact, Ephesians says that I can't even comprehend. I can't even imagine or think about all that God can do. He says that he supersedes my wildest imagination. So even when I think I'm thinking real high, I'm still thinking real low compared to God. Because my thoughts, what, are not like his thoughts. So I'm still thinking low even when I'm thinking high. But in spite of that, God still delivers and comes through. Oh, I'm thankful for that, not just for me, but I'm thankful for you as well. Because I know that sometimes when you and I are praying and asking God for things, we're thinking about it from a human perspective. And when we are thinking about it from a human perspective, God is wanting to do more. And sometimes our human perspective, if we allow that to be in control, it will limit what God wants to do. And so we have to learn how to ask and then say, God, have your way. I'm not going to be the one who puts a box around what you want to do. God, I got my idea of what wealth looks like, but wait a minute. You're the God who walks on streets of gold. How dare I tell you what wealth looks like? Amen. And so if I allow him then, by the power of his spirit, to improve the way I think, to take the boxes off of what he is able to do, that means that I can receive from him what he desires to give without limit. Amen. Amen. Okay. There's another interesting thing about this word hope. And it ties to something that you and I really don't like. It's connected to the idea of waiting. You and I know that we don't like waiting. But when you start talking about hope, hope has in it this component of wait. So the Old Testament saints were waiting for the Messiah to come. We're waiting for him to return. It's waiting. But there is hope along the way. They had a hope that when the Messiah came, that it would change everything about their situation. We have a hope that when he returns, we're going to be caught up to meet him. Amen. It is a hope with these expectations that things are going to get better. But it involves waiting. We don't like to wait in traffic, do we? Well, I don't. Yes, sir. He said, I'm going down the side. We don't like to wait in lines either, do we? Amen. Whether it's in a drive-thru, at the airport, or whether I'm at the DMV office trying to get my tags renewed, I don't want to wait. I don't like it. Oh, I don't like waiting on hold when I'm trying to get service. I don't like it. I don't like waiting. And I surely don't like waiting at the restaurant for a seat to become available. It's going to be 15 minutes. And silly me, I'll drive somewhere else that's going to take me 15 minutes. That's how much I don't like waiting. True story. One night, we left Bible study. When we were gathering together, we left Bible study. Me and the family, we left. And we decided that we wanted some ice cream. We went to McDonald's. Terrible place to go get ice cream. And the line was long because apparently everybody else that went to church that Wednesday night decided that they want some too. So I got tired of waiting in that line, and I got out of that line and drove to another one. It had a line too. But since I was close to home, I said, well, I'll go ahead and wait this time. And while I'm waiting and complaining, I finally get to the, you know, the little speaker where you can make your order. You know, you've been there too. Machine is broke. After all of that waiting. I should have, but you know they slow too. So I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting. Here's the truth. Not only do we not like waiting on those kind of things, we have a hard time waiting for God. We be like, God, you taking too long. I want this healing, but what you waiting on? I want to be delivered, but what you waiting on? I want to be set free, God, and you taking way too long to do what you going to do to fulfill your promise to me. And because you were all in agree with me about waiting, I know that that same waiting that you don't like spills over into your waiting on God. What I just want to encourage you is that if you're going to wait on something, if you're going to wait on someone, wait on God. Amen. If you're willing to make an appointment with the doctor who wants you to arrive at the office 15 minutes early and then make you wait to see them, you ought to be able to wait on God. The doctor is going to get you in and listen to your symptoms and then guess about how to treat what's going on. But God, who is an all-seeing God, will know what's going on and will allow you to tell him about your symptoms, and everyone that you leave out, he'll fill in the blank. And the prescription that he gives you is going to be the one that you need that will bring whatever healing is needed to your body, your mind, your soul, or your spirit. And so if you're going to wait on somebody, wait on God. If you're going to teach waiting how to behave, or if you will, if you're going to operate in hope, make sure that you are waiting on God. Because to wait or to hope means that you also have one that you are hoping in. And so your hope needs to be placed in God. Your waiting needs to be in God. And what he'll give is deliverance. I love this psalm, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Because here's what I want you to know is that if you wait patiently for the Lord, it's going to yield a favorable outcome for you. The psalm says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see him and fear the Lord and put their trust in him, all because you waited. If you're willing to wait on the Lord, he will deliver. You remember in Isaiah, Isaiah said that those who wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. It doesn't matter where you are, how tired you are, what condition is going on. It says that if you wait on the Lord, if you wait with an expectation that this God that you trust hears you and sees you and knows where you are, if you wait on him, he's going to meet you where you are and he's going to deliver you. He's going to carry you through. But you got to be willing to wait. You can't be like I was at McDonald's. You can't be like, oh, I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to go find another option. No, you wait on the Lord. And then you're waiting. You're acting like Elizabeth. You're acting like Zechariah. You're saying, I'm going to serve until he delivers. You say, I'm not going to allow myself to fall over in a corner. But instead, you say, I'm going to buckle up my shoes. I'm going to put on my apron, and I'm going to begin to wait on the Lord. How do you wait on the Lord? You serve him by serving people. Yeah. That's how you love God and serve God. You love him by loving people. You love him and you serve him by serving people. You wake up in the morning, God, what do you have for me today? Because I've come to be your servant and I've come to carry out your will. What do you want me to do? And if I'm at that place of where I can't get around like I used to get around, oh, what do? I find myself in Kneebone Valley. Because I discover in Kneebone Valley, I can move on behalf of others like never before. Because prayer has no limit. Amen. And when I'm caught up in prayer, I'm no longer thinking about my troubles. What I'm doing is I'm thinking about the God who is able to move not only on my troubles, but also on behalf of the troubles of others. And so I begin to call out his name with a sincere heart. Hope lives in Jesus. Hope lives in Jesus. For what they were waiting on was the coming of a Messiah that they thought would liberate them from the oppression that they were going through. What they didn't have set in their minds was that liberation was going to take time. Nor did they have set in their minds what that liberation would look like. And you and I need to remember that God's deliverance has a schedule. Amen. Galatians 4:4 says that at the appointed time, God sent his son. That's Jesus. He came with the express purpose of delivering people from their sins and setting them free. But watch God, who is patient, because he sent him as a baby. And that baby has to grow and wait. It wasn't an immediate deliverance, was it? And if God can be patient enough to wait on his image, the likeness of him, to grow up and get to the place of the appointed time for him to offer up himself and still accomplish his will and his purposes, why can't you and I wait on him? Get it out of your mind what your deliverance looks like. Take your schedule that you have created and tear it up. All of the modern day philosophies that we operate by and how folks are trying to motivate us and encourage us, take those things and put them to the side when it comes to the movement of God. Because God, even though he is all-knowing, even though he is all-powerful, he is still not using microwaves. Amen. God still cooks his beans the old-fashioned way. Amen. He allows them to soak overnight. And then he allows them to sit on the stove and cook under some heat. Amen. That's not popular because in today's culture, we want it quick. Amen? And I want to encourage you not to drag the practices, the philosophies of the culture, or even what has happened in terms of technology, and pull them over into God's kingdom and expect God to operate under those principles. But instead, understand that God is more concerned about you being whole, you being complete, you being blessed, you being prosperous, you being all that he wants you to be, and nothing fake about you. He don't want you fake, looking good on the outside, but toe up on the inside. You know that's what quick does, right? Quick will make you look good on the outside. You ain't got no character to sustain you. You toe up on the inside. He's like, no, I want you looking good from the inside out. And so God works it different. Instead of him making you look good on the outside first, he starts working on the inside. He starts saying, I'm going to change you from the inside out. And I'm going to make you right from the inside out. Because I expect you to be on display for my glory. And when I put you on display for my glory, I'm going to need everything about you to line up with what's coming up out of your mouth. Amen. And so he begins to work from the inside out to make you into the person that he has called you to be. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, in order for us to get there, it means that we have to have hope to believe that what God has started, he's going to see to completion. Amen. We've got to have hope to believe that God sees us, that he knows us, and he knows exactly what we're going through. We've got to have the kind of hope that says no matter what comes our way, our God who sees all, who knows all, recognizes our trouble. He recognizes our hardships, and he's going to cause all of it to work together for his good and his glory. When you and I can do that, we're talking about hope that keeps us stable. And can I tell you the only way you can have that kind of stability in a changing world like we live in is to put your hope in the one who is changeless. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and his name is Jesus. The only way you can have that kind of hope, a hope that cannot be killed by circumstances, is to put your hope in the one who lives, and his name is Jesus. So if you want the kind of hope that enables you to rise in the morning with a smile on your face, regardless of what's going on in your situations, you need to put your hope in Jesus, in him and in him alone. Amen. And I can assure you that you won't be disappointed. I can assure you that he won't leave you hanging. I can assure you that even through difficult times, you will be able to look at others and explain to them about the hope that you have. Amen. You'll be able to say to them, nope, I have not received that thing that I'm looking for, wishing for, expecting, or hoping for, but I got Jesus. And if I got Jesus, he's more than enough. Amen. Because what the word teaches us is that his grace is sufficient to keep us even in the midst of difficulties. And if we can keep our eyes, our hearts, and our minds fixed on him, our hope will be alive because Jesus lives. Jesus lives. He is not dead. He is alive. His power has not diminished. It still stands. And he is ready, willing, and able to move on your behalf. Amen. Amen.